You remember when a police commander in Chicago, David Harrison, went on 890 WLS, the fake conservative talk radio, and bragged, Commander Harris did, that he was responsible for reducing his district's crime rate. Remember that? Well, it was a lie, and so is the lie that WLS is a conservative station, because it's not. And so is the lie that Mr. Cochran, the host of that station in the morning, is anything remotely conservative, because he's calling for the execution of a conservative. He wanted her dragged out and shot in the fields, just like I can imagine the communists doing with Joe Stalin. Listen to this.
Lots on the State of the Union after 6 o'clock, and some disturbing things as normal, and Marjorie Taylor Greene should be taken out and shot in a field. What? Did I say that out loud?
Oh, she was just out of control. She was unleashed.
I'm just insane. The whole thing is insane. And by the way, I would say the same thing about Mark Taylor Greene. So any of you want to think make that about something, it's not. Save your breath.
Mark Taylor Greene, so he's going to the gender thing to protect himself, like as if that's the issue. No, it's not. The issue is, and it's really not the issue that you don't like Marjorie Taylor Greene, because a lot of people don't, and that's fine. I don't care. The issue is WLS presents itself as a conservative station. I worked there. I knew the difference. Jeff Carlin worked there for Don Wade and Roma and Dan Proft and me. Well, I don't see anything conservative about it now. Do you, Jeff Carlin?
No, and I try not to focus in on that too hard, because it's morning radio. You should try to be broad. And the part that strikes me is the idea that, you know, someone like a Steve Cochran considers him a professional and a bastion of morning intellect, or whatever you want to say, and presents the world through his rose-colored glasses. But really, I mean, we've talked about other supposed professionals talking on radio, and I always have the line that this is our airwaves. These are public airwaves. This is a service you're doing. And yes, it's a corporate entity, and yes, it's a job to do. But at the end of the day, it's still a service to a community. And to go out and call for the execution of an elected official on a 15,000-watt A1 radio station should get you fired instantly. And what had happened to him, he joked about it, might be, some people didn't think it was a sexist joke. You fool. It was about calling for the execution of an elected official.
Politicians say stupid things all the time.
Yeah.
That's why we love them. But and if they call for someone to be shot, dragged out and shot in the field, mm-hmm. then they have to stand for re-election like Marjorie Taylor Greene did.
Yeah.
But Steve Cochran, I mean, the dirty little secret of Chicago media is he's buddies with another guy who's a fake combine reporter, Rick Pearson from the Tribune. And that whole combine bit is the reason why Illinois is collapsing of its own sodden, corrupt weight. It's like a rotten piece of cardboard, and you're stepping on it in the alley, and you look at it and you think, what was that thing? Well, it used to be Illinois. It used to be the Illinois Republican Party until Jim Thompson and the rest of the Combine boys got their teeth into it. And then they ripped it apart to the way Cape hunting dogs rip out a zebra's flesh. I probably shouldn't demean Cape hunting dogs. So let's say jackals and hyenas.
Sure.
Okay.
But the point still stands that fools like Cochran, who want to play politics and kingmaker, and they don't, you know, shoulder the true responsibility.
There are no conservatives left on radio in Chicago, in media. I mean, there's Dan Proft, and Dan lives in Naples, and me, I live in Green Acres. Green Acres. Green Acres is the place to be. Yeah, I love it.
I know someone who does, who feels the same, and I there are guests this week.
Pat Hickey's going to be here. What a great writer and thinker, a great teacher. a great teacher of English literature and of all things Irish and things that should be saved. This podcast should be called How the Irish Saved Civilization Part 2 with Pat Hickey. And where are you? As Jeff Carlin and I think of how the Irish saved civilization as we recover from or celebrate St. Patrick's Day. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So, Pat Hickey, as promised, Pat Hickey, scholar, writer, teacher, devotee of all things Irish, and supporter not of the woke Ireland that's before us now. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Pat Hickey.
Binacte na fera Padraic Ort.
Oh my gosh, what does that mean?
That means the blessings of Patrick's feast be upon you.
I love it.
See, that's the thing about the Irish. We're, you know, it's never what it sounds like. It's not Happy St. Pat's. It's something like that. And the language itself is very, very rich and very, very confusing.
Much like the people in spirit.
Absolutely.
Well, Pat, welcome to the Chicago Way. Great to have you. For those who follow John Cass News, you've seen Pat's writings before, and they're always, always entertaining and always excellently written. And, Pat, that comes from your history as an English teacher, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. It has to do with my education in Catholic schools, too.
It's called reading.
It's called reading and writing, yeah.
Right, right. Is that where you got the idea for the great piece that you wrote last year, The Two Gored Bulls of Ireland?
Yeah, I wrote that last summer. I got that idea from this marvelous young Irish writer by the name of Angela Nagel. In fact, she's an American-born Irish citizen, and she's probably one of the finest writers that I've come across in the last few years. Back when Trump won the presidency, she did a study of Trump's infrastructure and all of the cyber work that went with it. And she wrote this book called Kill All the Normies. And it was about all of the normal people that backed Donald Trump for president. And she was subsequently banished from any intellectual newspapers, articles in Ireland or Europe and that stuff. And she's now writing in exile from Substack.
And well, wait a minute. If she wanted to kill the normies who voted for Trump, wouldn't that make her?
That wasn't her point. Her point was that the other side was saying kill all the normies.
Oh,
yeah. And so she said they're the ones who rose up and, you know, pushed Trump over the hurdle. But Pat, I want to get back to your bona fides. Tell us a little about yourself for those of the Chicago Way who don't necessarily read the column or don't read the bio at the end. You know, give us your backstory.
Well, I was born and raised in Englewood, 1952 at Englewood Hospital. And my mom and dad are both Irish. My mom was a Donahue from Canaryville, and my dad was the son of immigrants. Larry and Nora Hickey came over from County Kerry around the turn of the century. And my grandmother was from a town called Carrisavine, down in the Ivy Peninsula. And she was a native Gaelic speaker. And she was forced to come to America when she was about 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They had what was called an American wake, and they put a tag on her clothes, and they threw a party for her of all the people that she would never see again. That's what an American wake was. The idea was you were going to leave for forever, and they threw a party for you before you went to America.
Because there's no coming back and forth, right? No,
exactly, right. She came from a family of about eight, and the male heir would get the farm, and she had six little sisters. My grandmother worked as a scullery maid for the rich Yanks on Prairie Avenue, and she learned English and cooking from a black lady and a Mexican lady. And Granny Hickey was a phenomenal cook, and unlike Grandma Donahue, who would boil a steak and burn that. And my mom, God rest her soul, picked up her cooking chops from her mother. And my dad was the one that gave us the cooking chops. And several of my aunts were very good. My Aunt Marguerite in particular was a marvelous cook. But a lot of the women just didn't, you know, get right into it. It's the men that became the great chefs in the Hickey family. But she met Lawrence Hickey, who was a real bog man from Cary, great big iron-fisted guy, and he was from the town of Castle Island. We come from a tribe called the Batty Lars, which you were either a Bartholomew or a Lawrence who would get the farm on Crenna Mountain. And they were dairy farmers. Well, Lawrence's older brother, Bart Batty, got the farm, and he and his younger brothers had to bugger off to America, Canada, and Hong Kong. And he came to the United States and worked as a policeman in the stockyards. He refused to beat up strikers in 1912, and he was blacklisted. And he ended up starting the Engineers Union with several other Irishmen. The engineers originally were guys that just hauled ashes out of furnaces. And they began Local 399, which became the family trade. There was a joke in our family that people would always say, why are all these carrymen stationary engineers? And they said, well, they went to the greatest technical university in Europe. It was called Castle Island Institute of Technology. And none of them did. You know, they were all bog trotters. Right. They come over here and all of a sudden, Jesus, man, what a grand engineer he is. And if they could dig a hole, that was the type of thing.
Sure.
Well, from my grandmother, I got a love of poetry and music and the delicacy of the language. And from my grandfather, I got rageaholism.
Oh, boy.
Because he was the inventor of that. The guy would scream at the drop of a hat. We'd go over to my grandparents' house. I had 65 first cousins my age. And the oldest of them is Eddie Burke, and I'd like to give him a shout-out. He's the patriarch of what's left of the Hickeys. Eddie Burke played football for Mendel, and then he went to Notre Dame, where he was an All-American. And then he played for the Houston Oilers and the Dallas Cowboys before he blew out his knees, and he went to law school. Absolutely brilliant guy. And he's now out in Modesto, California, and he's a subscriber to John Cass News.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, not a bad. Now, Eddie's a great guy. And I said he's an intellectual giant as well. But I had this vast family, and we would go over to my grandparents' house on Sundays, and my grandpa Hickey would have babies on his lap, you know, a big armful of them, and very avuncular and singing Irish songs to them. And about 2 hours later, he would start screaming, get this shower of bastards out of my house.
My gosh, that's...
You just had enough, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, he had this marvelous ability to swear without repeating himself for 15 minutes. we picked fantastic. Up on that, and it just delighted us. And so it was just a great, very fun family to grow up in. And I went to school at Little Flower. And Little Flower had the Mercy Nuns. The nuns, while I have no great deal of affection for the Mercy Nuns, I will say this, that they punished us not only physically, but also by expanding our minds and making us read. We had to learn poems like Snowbound. And we'd have to stay after school until we had like 95 verses of it, or the or wow. Hiawatha, or Kelly Burke and Shea. That was a great one. That was about the sinking of the Maine. Here's to the Maine, and I'm sorry for Spain, said Kelly Burke and Shea. You know, they were all the guys that got killed on the Maine, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
So I got that, and then went on to St. Augustine's Minor Seminary in Michigan. And I discovered that I was not going to be celibate the rest of my life. So my dad asked me, he said, you're going to go to Leo with the rest of the guys? I said, nah, I want to be around women. And so I finished my high school career at Little Flower, where I, you know, had my grade school buddies like Jimmy Sexton and others, and Al McFarland and all those guys, and the Gentile brothers and all of that. So, I went to Little Flower, and I was so far ahead of my classmates because I'd had an intense study of Latin and literature that I barely did any homework. I remember the one time my uncles found me and Jimmy Sexton. I was translating Virgil's Aeneid for him over a pitcher of beer at Ray Colomb's saloon. It was called the Bowl of Cherries at 85th and Ashland.
That's a Southside thing. Sit down, have beer, and translate Virgil. Right.
Translate Virgil. We were wearing Letterman's jackets, high school.
Right.
And in come my three of my uncles, my Uncle Donnie, my Uncle Bart, and my Uncle Cy. And they see us sitting there, and my Uncle Donnie comes over, and he goes, what the hell are you doing? I said, translating Latin. And he gives me a whack. Don't be a smart ass. Does your old man know you're in here? I said, no. Okay. They went up to the bar. Then we finished our homework. So that was pretty much it. Then I went to Loyola, had great love for the teachers that I had there. Just the most rigorous literature education I could imagine.
Back and when so the Jesuits were Jesuits, right?
And that's Loyola when the was Jesuit, right.
Jesuit right. University.
They, right. they were great teachers and great great priest as well, just wonderful people. So from there, I went on and became a teacher at Bishop McNamara in Kankakee. From there to La La Mer, I got, or Bishop Mac, I got married, met the lovely Mary Cleary, and she was an art teacher and one of the wittiest women ever in my life. She was constantly busting my aggies about anything. And you know, she'd say stuff, what are you going to cry now? I mean, she did not suffer fools gladly.
I love it. So, Pat, so you had a long career in as an educator, and English was your bailiwick, and you're still writing today, and you're writing for John. And I got to hat tip to your piece on Jack Higgins. Your salute to him.
Oh, what a wonderful piece!
It was absolutely. And I didn't really. I mean, I knew of Jack, and but then reading it, I felt like I knew him, and it was very powerful. So I recommend everybody, if you're going to check out something that's on johncastnews.com earlier this year, was phenomenal. But John, you wanted to bring up the piece from last summer and kind of reference that earlier, but take us to that piece, because that's really more illustrative of what we're doing now and what we're seeing here and what we're seeing in Ireland, and just how the world is kind of whipsawed left, hard left, and people are not happy with it.
Well, the piece that I referred to is Two Gored Bulls of Ireland, but that was Pat Hickey. And, you know, just go on Google, type in Pat Hickey, H-I-C-K-E-Y, and johncastnews.com, and you'll see a selection of great writing from Pat. But he talks about, in the piece I'm referencing, he talks about the National Irish Epic, the Cattle Raid of Cooley.
The Cattle Raid of Cooley.
And tell us about that.
Well, the Irish were, they were drovers, and they were the original cowboys. And they
hop along, Cassidy. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But Two bulls. One was the brown bull, and the other one was the great white bull of Ulster. And the king of Connacht and his wife. His wife was like a Lady Macbeth. Her name was Queen Maeve, and she wanted her husband, and she kind of shamed him into raiding into Ulster and stealing the great white bull. And the idea was that you wanted what you had, and you wanted what somebody else had. And the result was that the brown bull gored the white bull, killed it, and he dies of his wounds. You can't have it both ways. And that's the way it was in Irish history.
And beats a curse, right?
It sure seems like it. I remember the first...
Sounds like a Greek story to me.
Well, yeah. And the Irish loved the Greeks. And the Irish had a great affinity for the Greeks because, as you know, in Thomas Cahill's book, How the Irish Saved Civilization.
I have it right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the Irish were acting, you know, not as original thinkers at all, but as the Xerox machine of civilization. They were monks, Christian monks, and they were scripting all of the great works of Aristotle, all of the plays,
mm-hmm.
all of the ecclesiastical documents.
They were saving the great works.
Saving the great works between the 6th and the 8th century. But, you know, back to the Tugard bulls, Ireland wants to be free. Ireland wants to throw off the oppressor. And Ireland always ends up handcuffing itself. It was the Irish that invited the Earl of Pembroke, Strongbow, to come in and take the castle and build the Pale around Dublin. And it's the Irish today that have taken the money, which gave them the Celtic Tiger back in the 1990s,
yeah.
from Silicon Valley and from Europe. And the price has been damnable. The Irish are the most woke country in Europe, and stupidly woke. I mean, if you can think of a dumb thing to do, the Irish are all over it. One of the great beauties of Ireland is the burning of peat. You know, Ireland is...
you need it for Ireland's whiskey. Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Well,
the peat has this marvelous smell, and it's used not only to heat the homes of Ireland, but also to cook with. It gives off a great heat, but it has a marvelous smell. Well, the environmentalists in Brussels have ordered Ireland to end the burning of peat.
Yeah.
We need a better way. The Irish export dairy products as they did during the famine.
Butter.
The Irish were all dying, and they were giving cows and pigs and ducks and geese to England to sell into Europe, and butter and everything else. It's a very rich agricultural country. But now the European Union is ordering Ireland to kill cattle. The very cattle that's making Kerrygold butter and Galti cheese and Dublin cheddar and all that stuff. Oh, we got to get an end to that because of bovine flatulence.
Pat Hickey, yeah. What happened to the bold Fenian men?
That has been my question, because Ireland is also a land that cannot take it for too long. Let me read you a little passage here from that marvelous little writer by the name of Angela Nagel. She is incredible. And she writes about the Irish government is now going to set up the most draconian hate crime laws. Their prime minister, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, he's the prime minister, head of government. And she writes, again, the Irish organized peaceful and democratic resistance campaign against the seizing of documents, against the seizing of books, and laws that would criminalize thought and speech of citizens. Again, the Irish organized a peaceful demonstration and resistance campaign, holding events and writing letters. Now, in response to the riot that took place a couple of months ago after a grammar school teacher and three children were stabbed by an immigrant, or not an immigrant, but a refugee that they're bringing in by the tons.
Right.
Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, has vowed to modernize and increase state action against hate speech. And Angela Nagel writes this: "The Irish have a historical reputation as fighters and rebels. The truth is closer to what the writer Conor Fitzgerald has well described as an exaggerated national tendency towards long overdue consensus collapse. They take it for so long. We have a norm of extreme parochial conformism, overseen by an arrogant priestly class." And in this case, they're not religious. Right. The priestly class are the woke journalists and academics, that permits not a single word of dissent in the public square until one day there's an explosive reaction against those priests. Well, last Friday, on Joe Stalin's International Women's Day, which the very woke leftists of the Irish government chose to have two referenda, two votes put out to the Irish people.
Right.
One would eliminate the word woman from the Constitution, and the other would reorganize what is known as the family. A family could be a guy who loves his reading lamp. A family could be a guy who loves his poodle. A guy could be a fan, you know, all of this kind of stuff.
Right.
And I figured the thing was going to get bowled through. Well, much to my delight, 80% of the Irish voters came out, or not 80%, but in certain counties, but right. overwhelmingly, like 67%.
Said no.
Said no. They said absolutely not. And the Irish government is absolutely terrified that this got out. In my home county of County Kerry, almost 80% of them said no to this stuff. And it seems like now this collapse is taking place, or what Angela Nagel has referred to as this long overdue consensus collapse. That's enough. We're not going to take in all of Europe's refugees. You know, there's more Ukrainians in Ireland than anything else right now. The number one name in Galway is Mohammed for young males.
Does this mean an end to the ambitions of Leo the Limp?
I surely hope so.
As Houlihan calls him? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I surely hope so. Mike Houlihan had his finger on this guy years ago because he was taking all of his trips to Ireland.
Right.
Yeah. And Ireland is pretty hostile to people like Hooley, who is an unfiltered American patriot. And so I imagine if he had taken a tour, spoke his mind under the new hate crimes laws, Hooley would be doing time in Leo's Kilmainham jail.
Hooley does have a tendency to speak his mind, which we love about him, and you too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, so it seems like a theme we've had here lately is this almost revolt to wokeism, or and this weird super left swing. You know, we were talking last week about how San Francisco has started to push back and revote, and hopefully that will ring true in Chicago next week.
As no,
people, I said hopefully.
God willing.
Yeah, God willing. At least I hope very much so in the state's attorney's race, as we can win, get that far. But Pat, to bring it back to the city, I mean, you grew up on the South Side. You grew up in, obviously, you laid out for us a very Irish and conservative-ish family. Yeah. How have things changed? I mean, what are you seeing today that makes you nervous? I mean, what is changing, and where do you think we're going?
Well, the Irish are loyal people. They're loyal to their unions. They're loyal to their family. Right. They're loyal in a way that I was loyal for a long time. In fact, you know, I'm going to do time in purgatory for my work helping out a friend of mine get Tony Preckwinkle elected.
Oh, yeah, you're going to definitely have culpa. A long way.
I figure I'm going to do several millennia there. But honest to God, it's, you know, we do that. And the Irish just have to come to a point, as I did. Illinois right now, what do you have? You got casino gambling. You got abortion. You got a lot of shooting.
Marijuana.
Marijuana. Yeah, you got all the dope you want. And right. You know what? The unions that used to be about rights of working men, they were all bought off by Pritzker. He gave them dope franchises.
Right.
I don't know if you recall that.
Oh, yeah.
The electricians, the engineers, everybody, they all got a piece of it. So if you wanted to open a nice shop, you had to do through the union way. And instead, we have this bloated governor who wants to be president. As someone said, he was born on third base and thinks he hit a triple.
Yeah.
But the Irish, like I said, you know, we're lovely people. We're loyal people, but sometimes we're just too loyal. And I think we give the store away, as the two gored bulls of Ireland did. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't be true to your convictions as a Catholic, at least I can't, and say, I'm against abortion, and then to go help Fran Hurley get elected as a state rep. I can't do that, you know? Yeah. And so if that makes people mad, so be it. So be it, union.
we see that all across Chicagoland.
Yeah. Everybody has, you know, you got a price tag. You want something, but you can't have it both ways.
Right.
Rahm Emanuel bought out all of the pipe trades unions. Remember the big billboard on the Dan Ryan?
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, but it's sad. And so I live now in the free state of Indiana. And
neighbor.
Yeah. And it's just lovely. I'm close to the lakefront. Work on the boats in the summer. I teach the lovely kids at Westville, Indiana, which is just south of Michigan City. And I have a great life. The lady of my affections, Miss Terry Sullivan, comes for visits all the time. And
another fine writer, elegant writer.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would like to say. At least give a St. Patrick's prayer to some great Gaels that are suffering right now from physical ailments, if I may.
Absolutely. Yes, please.
A Chicago fireman and WGN stagehand is one man that I'm thinking of right now. And I hope that St. Patrick puts out his healing palms and gives Jack some sustenance. A guy named Jack Joyce, who is the uncle of Mike Pickle Joyce.
Oh, yeah.
He's suffering from throat cancer. Just a wonderful, generous guy. Mike Joyce himself is suffering greatly from a botched back injury. And one of my students in the past, Katie McKenna Olson, who lives up in Lindenhurst, she's going to war with ALS.
Oh.
And that's just a horrible disease. Yeah. And I at this St. Patrick's Day, I think about people like that. I think about my brother who worked 46 years as a carpenter, and he's arthritic in every joint he's had. And since the wonderful man Kevin Hickey retired as a carpenter, he hasn't drawn a healthy breath. And he does so without whining. So I hope that St. Patrick will, you know, put his healing hands out to people that are harmed or people that are suffering and people that can use his help. And with that, I thank you guys for letting me shoot my mouth off for a half hour.
Oh, Pat, it's been lovely. Brilliant, as my our Irish friends up here in Andersonville would say. Just wonderful. Your description and your history is just such a fun story to listen to. And your writing, as we've talked about on johncastnews.com, is the best, absolutely the best. I mean, there's one other writer on there who I think might be a little bit better than you, but you know, we won't. You got to be
not a comp. There's not a competition, okay?
Praise from Caesar himself.
Speaking of Caesar, yeah, right. Yeah. Because
that was great today, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, the old gods. Yeah, the idea. Oh, yeah.
Gracchus.
Gracchus Schiff.
Yeah.
Gracchus Swalwell. Yeah, my God.
Anyway. Gracchus Durbin.
Pat, if people wanted to follow your exploits, you point them anywhere in particular?
John Cast News.
I love it.
Only place to get the straight news around here in the Midwest.
Oh, you're very kind. But where is there a social media thing? You could go on Facebook to find you, right?
I'm on Facebook. Sure, yeah.
Sometimes drop your musings there. Yeah,
I do at times. I'm constantly a feature at the Talk Stupid Roundtable here in in Michigan City and Post 187, MDK.
With the amazing koi pond, from what I hear.
Oh, amazing koi. You guys should join us there sometime.
Definitely.
Bring your microphone. Could Jeff bring his microphone? Because Talk Stupids would make a great podcast.
Yeah, maybe on the road.
It's a boon to a man's soul, and it allows you to sleep at night. Men must talk stupidly. You must talk about stupid things.
Yeah,
because I tell you, the other stuff is really tough to chew on.
Surely it is.
But unless you go to John Cass News, don't be a chumbaloney. Go to John Cass News and get the straight dope.
Thank you, Pat Hickey.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you, boy.
Take care. Merry, happy St. Paddy's Day.
You too.
And happy St. Joseph's Day that's coming up real soon.
And happy March 25th for all my Irish friends who saved civilization so that the Greeks could destroy it. Thanks. For Pat Hickey, writer, Irishman, Southsider, English teacher, great English teacher. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN News, friend of cats, baker of pies, and future physics teacher. And for me, John Cass of the aforementioned johncassnews.com, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, American, who loves his country and sees the people that run it not believing in anything but their own power. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.